Welcome back. We're Simply Bitcoin. This is the weekend recap. We break down the news from Twitter, the daily fail, meme review, software releases, hardware releases, and the websites by plebs. Joining us today, fellow Bitcoiner, memer, spokesmuppet, ICO offender, or as most of you know him, Yellow. All right, we're going to the numbers. Let's do it.
Number time!
Number Time is brought to you by Bitcoin 2022. It's going to be the largest Bitcoin conference ever. It's going to be hosted in sunny Miami Beach, Florida. But quick, get your tickets now before the price goes up. Take advantage of the link down below in the link description for 10% off your tickets to Bitcoin 2022.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 714,859. The Bitcoin price, 47,245. Chain rewrite days, 765. Total public Lightning capacity, still holding steady, 3,290.46, Moscow time, 21:17, and blocks to the halvening, 125,141, the numbers.
Bro, it's freaking crazy that we've been stuck in time at the same exact price for like 10 days. That's freaking crazy, dude. That's nuts. Yellow.
There's something.
Go ahead, Phil.
No, go ahead.
Yeah,
so everybody Yellow, always hears me. Let's hear Yellow.
Yeah, Yellow. What are your thoughts on 47K gang?
Hi guys. I was sleeping. Yeah, the sideways thing is a little bit boring. I get it, but it's in the game, man. Like, you have to go through that in order to experience the good stuff, the good times.
So look, I've seen a lot of your technical analysis. I mean, sometimes, like, you know, you don't like to pat yourself on the shoulder for, you know, for that. But where do you see us, right? Per the lines, the flats, and where do you see us in January?
Yeah. So if I can check a little bit, I'm pretending to open a site now. Pretending, click. Yeah, the numbers are like sideways action now. The whales are closing their profits for the year. That's what Dan Held said in a tweet or something. I don't know if that's true, but I'll go with it. And also, you know, from enjoy Christmas, guys. Enjoy the holidays. Enjoy whatever you believe in, don't stop believing and all that shit, you know? And from the 1st of January, again, we're going to continue. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. You heard the prophecy from the man himself, the man, the myth, the legend, Yellow, breathing, smoking a cigar, drinking Red Bull, nonstop. Phil?
Nico, it may not be the technical analysis that we want, but it's the technical analysis that we deserve.
It's the one that we deserve. This is true.
Yep, the one we deserve.
All right, Phil, you got something for everybody.
I got a couple things.
Some signal.
Well, before we get into the signal, we're gonna go back in time, right?
I might add before we pull it up, Phil, and I'll say it.
I will
pull it up. So, I just want to say, right? Look. If you've been following any of the TA, anybody, and any of the Bing accounts, I just want to point out, right, which is why we don't cover TA, because we consider it speculation, that everybody was fucking wrong. Everyone expected 100 to 200K Bitcoin. Everybody. Remember, Phil? Like, all the big TA guys, everyone got it the fuck wrong. And it's not because they're bad. Some of those guys are awesome. Some of those guys are friends of mine, but it's not that. It's that, look, at the end of the day, it's exactly what you said, Phil. Everyone is guessing, except for fucking Yellow, because he has the phone number of the Bitcoin CEO. So Yellow's really the only one to really know the Bitcoin price in the future, the prophecy. But if you get your TA from everybody else, it's just wrong.
Yellow. Yep. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... Not that this has anything to do with the numbers, but we figured we'd throw in some Bitcoin history, right? Like, this wouldn't be a news show if we weren't offering some type of historical context for certain things. Okay, so you'll hear a lot of people say the term HODL, right? And for those, you know, for Bitcoiners, even some seasoned Bitcoiners, I might add, seem to think that it stands for an acronym, Hold On For Dear Life, but that's not the case at all. Exactly, wrong. This is actually the post that started the HODL revolution. All right, so let's take a look at it and let's read through it. And we're going to have to bleep out some of the words here, unfortunately. But here we go. I'm HODLing. And that's December 18th, 2013. And very interesting, right? Because that was yesterday. Anyways, I typed D, that title, twice because I knew it was wrong the first time. Still wrong. Girlfriend's out at a lesbian bar, BTC crashing. Why am I holding? I'll tell you why. It's because I'm a bad trader, and I know I'm a bad trader. Yeah, you good traders can spot the highs and the lows, pit pat, piffy, wing, wong, wang, just like that, and make a million bucks. Sure, no problem, bro. Likewise, the weak hands are like, oh no, it's going down. I'm not gonna sell. and then they're like, oh god, my asshole. when the smart traders who know what the F they're doing buy back in, but you know what? I'm not part of that group. When the traders buy back in, I'm already part of the market capital. So guess who you're cheating, day traders? Not me. Those taunt threads saying, oh, you should have sold. Yeah, no shit. No shit, I should have sold. I should have sold moments before every sell and bought moments before every buy. But you know what? Not everybody is as cool as you. That's amazing. It is. You only sell in a bear market if you are a good day trader or an illusion noob. The people in between hold. In a zero-sum game such as this, traders can only take your money if you sell. So I've had some whiskey. Actually, on the bottle, it's spelled whiskey. Sue me. But only if it's payable in BTC. Man. All right, guys. So you see, the term HODLing came from a drunken rant. Okay? All it was a drunken rant of somebody who just totally was freaking out.
Legend. I just want to say legend.
Total legend.
Legend. The man, right. The myth, the legend. But I don't know if he lives up to the Yellow's legend status, but that person is a legend.
Yeah.
He is, like, you can feel the pain, man. You can feel the pain, and it's something totally wonderful. It's something wonderful. I remember I had an account back then, but my doxed account, and I remember reading that and laughing my ass. Like, I was crying, man. I was crying laughing because I could feel it. I would totally feel it.
Oh, man.
You know it. Yeah. If you've been on the roller coaster, which you have, you know the drill. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like, yep. So, yes, that's where it comes from. It's not an acronym.
Awesome.
He just couldn't type. He was drunk.
Awesome part of Bitcoin history. Phil, do we have enough time for the next one?
I think so. I think we do. It's a quick one that we're gonna riff on, right?
All right. Okay. Cool.
So look. So here we go. Okay. This is WTFBitcoin.substack.com. Okay. That's a fellow Bitcoiner who releases a weekly newsletter. We're not gonna go through the whole entire thing. What I wanted to do was take a look at this zoom out of the 2 year candles, right? So each of these candles is a 2 year candle, right? So this is. It's Signal / Hopium, right? Because it's Signal.
Made by Marcus, I have to say.
Yep, made by Marcus, absolutely right. It's Plan Marcus, right? Or
oh,
no?
Oh, this is his Substack?
Yeah.
No, it's not his Substack, but it's his chart. Yep. Anyways, take a look, right? So when we're going through these price motions and Nico's drinking the syrup, and we've got Yellow on here. Just remember, you got to zoom out, okay? Because that's what the picture really looks like. So when we're looking at these swings, right, and we're thinking, that's it, it's over. Maybe I just made a giant mistake. And maybe, you know, like, no. Zoom out. Take a look at what's happening. Nico?
Just remember why that guy's HODLing. Just remember. Just read that tweet that will go down in Bitcoin history and just remember. Learn from him and his whiskey. You know what they say, you tell the truth when you're drunk.
Like, true.
Maybe. Yellow knows.
Yeah, man. HODLing isn't easy. Like, we say it as a meme, but it's not easy. And it gets more and more difficult as the years pass. Like, it has an effect on you and in the people around you. And, like, you can totally see it, but, like, if you stick with it, man, like, miracles happen. So
So let me elaborate a little bit more on yellow. Like, what do you mean by that? Like, it affects the people around you. It affects you. Obviously, you've been orange pilled a little bit longer than Phil and I. So what, like, you know, give an example of that.
It has to do with sacrifice, man. It has to do with sacrifice. Like, because we haven't reached the so-called hibernization, right? We're not there. Nice mustache on your mustache. we haven't reached the hibernization point. So we are in this in-between space of fiat system and the so-called the future with Bitcoin that we want to see, right? So you see around people that haven't been orange peeled, living in the lie, living in the now at some point, because without sacrifice, without stacking, and without hoarding, we're living in a future in some aspects. So we sacrifice some stuff now in order to reap the benefits in the future, right? For us and for our family and for our kids, if we have. So that sacrifice, it's tough. It's not easy. It's not easy to hodl. We can just say it's easy technically to do it, but it isn't in the same time, you know? It's that duality, like, and simplicity, so.
Absolutely.
Right, dude, very well said.
I agree with you. I think that it, you know, and it starts, you could essentially, you know, you could start to tell who has been in the rabbit hole and for how long, because essentially they just stop giving a fuck about things, right? Like, you just stop caring. And not in the bad way of, like, letting yourself go or not doing exercise, but you stop caring about all the BS that being in the fiat matrix makes you care about. You just stop caring about that. And then you start, like, the, you know, because you're losing, you know, money's relative, guys. I'm not trying to be specific or anything, but you start losing, you know, a considerable amount of your net worth, you know, and it just disappears, you know, because that's what Bitcoin does. And you're okay with it. And not only are you okay with it, you want to buy more, right? That only happens in Bitcoin, right? So you start to notice the people around you. And now I've gotten to the point where I can have a conversation with somebody and I could tell, you know, whether they've survived a bear market. I could tell how long, relatively how long they've been in the space just by the answers that they're telling me. And what I've noticed is Bitcoiners that have been here a while, man, they're some of the most base, woken up people on the fucking planet. They just don't care, you know, about things that people would normally care about.
To end this segment, like, I did a space a while back, a serious space. I wasn't like yellow as we know, right? And I haven't put it in YouTube yet, but I'm planning to. I titled it as. Was Cypher, did Cypher have a point from the Matrix? The guy that betrayed everybody, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So for me, if you hold a bunch of years, you still be like, okay, fuck that guy. He betrayed everybody. But for me, you have some kind of empathy for him. I don't know why. I hate that I go like full valise on you guys now.
No, going in that path. I think you're spot on, and I'll pop up the guy so you guys know the character that he's talking about. But essentially, he has a really famous scene with Agent Smith, and essentially he's eating a piece of steak, and he's like, "How do I know whether this is a real piece of steak or not?" Right? Like, it's just the Matrix sending signals to my brain, and I empathize with that, Yellow. I empathize. I don't think I'm quite there yet myself.
Exactly.
But I understand. I understand what you're saying.
No, and I will never choose what he chose, but I understand him. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. Exactly.
I understand him.
You can objectively understand his situation, right? You can put yourself in his situation.
Absolutely. I forget who was it. I think it was Shishi that told me this, but it's like, you pay an emotional cost, right? The emotional Bitcoin makes you pay every single penny of that emotional cost, right? And it's just a matter of, like, do you want to get used to it or do you not, right? And it's exactly what you said, Yellow. It's changed my life. It's changed Phil's life, right? this is life-changing stuff, right? What's going on? You exiting of the fiat matrix, but it comes at a cost, right? And I think that's the cost that we are all talking about. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily Fail.
The Daily Fail is brought to you by Amber App. Check them out, amber.app. It's the easiest way to buy Bitcoin, and it's a Bitcoin stacking app by toxic Bitcoiners. So check it out. The link is down below. We are honored to have our spokes Muppet on the show, but I have to admit, I am getting a little confused. Tell me what I got to do, Yellow.
Hey, what is this? Wait, what is it? This guy is ICO Offender 1, I'm 2, I'm the new one. He's the boomer one. Don't listen to the guy. He got suspended, man. He's an asshole. He steals, like, videos, DMCA, like, I'm legit here, no?
All right, so this article, I think, came out, like, right before the weekend. I think it was, like, on Friday or something like that. There you go, Friday, December 17th. Phil, why don't you just look at the screen? Anyways, Bitcoin may not last that much longer. Academic warns. This academic's been doing a lot of warning lately. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so... Eswar Prasad is the academic that they're referring to, and let's dive into, because we've got quite a few different pieces to this. Because he's been very busy. He's been very busy attempting to dismantle the Bitcoin use case, but trying to build up another use case at the same time. Mm. Anyways, while there used to be just a few cryptocurrencies, today there are hundreds, and some of them are more useful and more environmentally friendly than Bitcoin. Indeed, something that you make out of nothing and then pretend it has a network effect and have nothing protecting it. Yes, so much more desirable. I want that. All right, here we go. Eswar Prasad, senior professional of international trade policy at Cornell University, told CNBC Squawk Box earlier this month, Bitcoin itself may not last that much longer. Okay. Bitcoin's use of the blockchain technology is not very efficient. This is where we could pop up that meme of, I'm new to Bitcoin and I'm here to fix it. Mm-hmm. Okay? He's the author of The Future of Money Now, How the Digital Revolution is Transforming Currencies and Finance. Decided to dive into this professor because, of course, right? Quite often you get these incredibly credentialized people coming out with what seems like very thoughtful research. Seems, right? Anyways. Let's dive into the author here of that piece, right? Eswar Prasad is the Tolani Senior Professor of Trade Policy at Cornell University. He's also a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, where he holds the New Century Chair in International Economics and a research associate at the National Bureau of Economic Research. He was previously chief of the Financial Studies Division in the IMF's Research Department, and before that was the head of the IMF's China division. He knows about blockchains. Here we go. His extensive publication records include, here we go, this is some of the creds, man. We're gonna credit up. His extensive publication record includes articles in numerous collected volumes, as well as top academic journals such as the American Economic Review, American Economic Journal, Macroeconomics, Brookings Papers on Economic Activity, The Economic Journal, International Economic Review, Journal of Development Economics, Journal of Economic Perspectives, Journal of International Economics, Journal of International Money and Finance, Journal of Monetary Economics, and Review of Economics and Statistics. He also co-authored and edited numerous books and monographs, including on financial regulation and on China and India. All right. So he's got lots of creds.
He's the author of also How to F*** Off by Looking at Yourself in the Mirror. It's a very good book that he did.
Oh, that was an autobiography.
Yeah. Phenomenal book.
It was a picture book. No, okay, so here we go.
Bill.
Check this out. I apologize. We're being serious. Okay, so it's been very busy, right? This is what I just said before. So there's this article. Dr. Eswar Prasad says BTC's legacy will be blockchain technology. So you remember what I said before about how it's changing up the narrative? Okay. So here we go. According to him, the flagship cryptocurrency uses a transaction validation mechanism that takes a toll on the environment. He also pointed out that the BTC network is not scalable. Due to these traits, he says BTC might not last much longer. So, on the scalability debate, we're going to go back to something we said last week. There was an article that we covered on Medium, okay? And it had to do, it was actually during the number section, and it had to do with trading. It didn't even have to do with this, but it just so happened that we got this piece of juice right here. The Lightning Network is capable, and Lightning is the layer on top of the Bitcoin's base layer, okay? The Lightning Network is capable of sending Bitcoin at a speed of 500 transactions per second right now. The speed only increases with each update, with some estimating that 40 million transactions per second is theoretically possible. Prasad further noted that investors should strive to find the fundamental value proposition of assets. He added that BTC does not serve well as a medium of exchange. To this end, the Cornell University professor does not believe it has any fundamental value apart from what investors think it has. However, he alleges that BTC has triggered an element of currency competition. According to Prasad, the popularity of BTC led to the rise of, this is where we start shifting the narrative, led to the rise of stablecoins, which could create more effective means of completing transactions seamlessly, you disingenuous pricks. Anyways, in turn, stablecoins have pushed central banks to mull the issuance of digital versions of their national currencies. There was another article on the Bitcoin Insider. I told you, he's been very busy. He's been very busy in the last few months, okay? And actually, sorry, Nico, let me just...
Why does he look like the bad guy from those old James Bond movies?
Right? The metal mouth dude.
Yeah.
Jaws.
Yes, Jaws. He looks like
Jaws. Boom, we found him. We found him. He's an economist. Sorry, credentialized. He's credentialized. Let's give him that. McCreds. Okay, so look. This was that article I just read to you before was December 6th, okay? So we're going to move to another article, okay? Economic professor warns cryptocurrencies may contribute to monetary and financial instability. Where have we seen that before? Here we go. This is fantastic, okay? And keep in mind, this is a person that has done nothing but go to school their whole life mm-hmm. and write nothing but research papers.
They've created nothing.
Which means... Yeah. That's right, which means they should have done at least more than 5 minutes of research on Bitcoin, right? I'd be ashamed. Anyways, I think central bank digital currencies are the way of the future, but every central bank will want to make sure that its money is not used for illicit purposes. So transactions will be auditable and traceable. Is he the only one huffing glue? Like, what the hell is that? That's completely insane. Bitcoin is a public ledger. Yeah. Everyone can look at it. We show episode after episode of how the financial banking system has aided illicit financial transactions to the tunes of hundreds of billions of dollars. Anyways, all right. So now we're going to go take a look at some of the other things he said, right? Because he made a claim that Bitcoin can't be used, right? Like that was one of its shortcomings. You know, let's go back and take a look. So this is what he said, right? He added that BTC does not serve well as a medium of exchange. Okay, well, these are the average Bitcoin transactions, and I can't see on the screen, of course, because of where I have my thingy here, this bar, this annoying bar. So you could see right here, this is the Bitcoin average transaction value, the historical chart. Take a look at that. That's going up.
So it hit an all-time high this year, yeah.
And saying that it's not a medium of exchange, or can't be, or shouldn't be, that's kind of disingenuous and incorrect and very surprising from somebody who spends their whole life researching. Okay. So this is an article where Samson Mao was quoted. Bitcoin moves nearly $500,000 in value around the globe permissionlessly every second. It was never about transactions per second and coffee. It's all about value transacted per second and a new financial paradigm.
Absolutely.
Exactly correct.
The for coffee, if you want coffee, Lightning Network works perfectly for that, right? You know,
that's fine.
You know, you pay less fees, but you know, if you want to store wealth, right, and you want to be able to send that, you know, think about it, dude. Like, if you're hodling, right? When are you really going to send that Bitcoin? You know, like it's supposed to stay in cold storage, right? That's the whole point. Save wealth.
So, okay, there's two small pieces left to this. Here we go. Right? Bitcoin's dying. He wants you to believe that it's going to go away. Well, take a look at this. This is the number of nodes, reachable nodes, mind you, okay? The chart shows the number of reachable Bitcoin nodes during the last 1,825 days. So take a look. These are IP version 4, these are IPv6, and these are the Tor nodes.
Oh, I love the Tor nodes.
Look at that pattern. Mm-hmm. Look at that pattern. Up and to the right.
I remember what I always tell you guys, right? If you want to look at up and to the right, if you want to look at the health of Bitcoin, it's not so much looking at the Kaka fiat price, it's more so looking at how many nodes, right? That obviously it's going up. And what's the hash rate? And that's also going up, right? Even though a nation state just recently tried to attack it. We're going to get to that in the news in a second. But look, you can't stop the honey badger. So this Jaws from James Bond, clearly wrong. And he lost a lot of weight, too.
And here we go. This is the last piece to it all, right? Because remember, okay? Never forget that it's a world of incentives for all of us, okay? So we showed that this guy has... You know, he's got ties to the IMF, right? We showed all the credentials. You can also see that he's spoken on all the wonderful, you know, on all the wonderful corporate media channels. But I just want to end it with this. Cornell's blockchain course. Okay? Now take a look at this, okay? They're supposed to be teaching you about the money of the future. Take a look at this. This class aims to provide individuals with exposure to a wide range of blockchain technologies and developments, from the basics of how blockchain and Bitcoin work to current technologies and developments such as Uniswap or NFTs.
It looks rare, bro. Like, imagine a class inside there. Does this look rare? I don't know. It looks rare. I might buy this cypherpunk monkey psychedelic shit.
So freaking stupid. Phil, you slayed that guy. That was really well done. Really good research. I just want to add, like, look, the same thing happens with Steve Hanke, right? Their whole purpose of existence, Bitcoin makes disappear, right? They've been teaching Keynesian economics for I don't know how long. Bitcoin is Austrian economics, right? It comes from, you know, their whole gig only works with the fiat money printer, which is why he's pushing this idea of central bank digital currencies, which is why he's pushing alternatives, right? Bitcoin essentially makes it so that these people are obsolete. It's not like Bitcoin just replaces it. It's like there is no one filling that void anymore, right? Bitcoin successfully separates the monetary policy out of the hands of humans. And essentially, he's not looking at that innovation. You know, he's using the environment fund to try to attack it. He's not seeing it that way. He's seeing it from a perspective of, yeah, we still need humans in this process, right? We still need central banks, right? Completely ignoring the fact that the node count continues to go up, the hash rate continues to go up, even though it just got banned by one of the most powerful nation states in the world, and completely ignoring the fact that Bitcoin was just made legal tender in El Salvador. And if you take Bitcoin, the commodity, and you put it aside, Bitcoin, the network, is still being used, right, for remittances, right? That's exactly what Strike is doing. That's exactly what the Chivo app is doing. So completely ignoring all of that because it doesn't fit his narrative. It doesn't fit what he's trying to sell you. It doesn't fit, you know, the ideas that he's, you know, trying to programmate around the world. And if you look at Steve Hanke, he does something very similar. But if you ask me who I dislike more, Steve Hanke or this guy seems like more of an asshat. Yellow.
Yeah, I totally agree. Those guys have their target groups. Their target groups are all the people that shout, get off my lawn. They have to say the same crap over and over again. Repetition does wonders for their engagement, and they keep on saying the same crap. And they don't, it doesn't make sense to us, of course, that we know. But they keep on doing, and they keep on popping up now and then. And I don't know, man. It's so silly. Like, it's nearly 2022 now. Like, aren't we over this?
You know what? Since August, I think it was. I think since August, there's been like 6 articles citing this guy. And essentially, he's throwing everything he can. Okay, at this, right? It's, we needed it to be traceable. ESG narrative, faster transactions. It's like, dude, you're like, you went to school your whole life. Are you telling me that you can't Google any of this crap?
But Phil, you just answered your own question. He went to school learning something that Bitcoin makes obsolete. So think about it from his perspective, because that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about it from the perspective of, bro, this guy makes 100 or 200K teaching mierda every fucking year. Mierda, for anyone who doesn't know, shit, right?
Scata,
yeah.
Dude, if something made me obsolete, I'd want to know about it. And I'd want to know it intimately. I'd want to understand it intimately.
Phil,
okay?
These are fiat economics, bro. They're evil, dude. I don't know how else to say it.
If you are true,
you're right. I know you're right. Oh, sorry, Yella.
If you're a true seeker of knowledge and truth, you're right, but they're not. They want just to protect their bubble.
Yep. Yeah. They want to protect or keep. That's exactly what it is. But, dude, you brought the receipts. Really good research, Phil. You keep getting
Yay.
Better. I like Phil since he's quit his job. He's just...
He likes full-time Phil.
It's great. It's great. So much stuff, right? But anyways, guys. Anyways, guys, it's time for the Daily Meme Review. The Daily Meme Review is brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin cultural zine. It's pure pleb signal. Buy Bitcoin plebs. There's comics, stories, articles, really cool stuff. It's scarce. There's only 1,000 copies made per volume. Get your copy, your print of Citadel 21 today. All right, everybody, the meme review today, and we brought a special guest, so it's going to be great. First meme is by Spinte, Bitcoiners speaking with no coiners. Bitcoiners speaking with shitcoiners. Highly accurate. Next one. This was absolutely hilarious. This is a screenshot None Your Business. It's like, thank you for contacting Adidas chat support. I understand that you're contacting about the NFT. I would highly suggest for you to contact NFT support so they can check and fix the issue on your wallet. Should I call Ethereum? Yes, since we do not have access to your NFT account. This is when you know people don't know anything. All right, next one is brought to us by The Week in Bitcoin. And Phil still doesn't understand, bro. Copyright. I can't use this. Okay, anyways. Moving on.
I didn't realize.
It's Christmas party season. Pretty sure I'll have the same conversations last year. The fiat system of currency is manipulated by central banks and governments to steal your wealth through inflation and make you a slave. Bitcoin fixes this. Who the fuck starts a conversation like that? I just set it down. That's all the Bitcoiners. This is by the Meme Factory that Yellow's part of. But remember, the Meme Factory doesn't exist. Anyways, a shitcoiner's never-ending journey. Here's about Bitcoin. Google's crypto. Tells Maxis they're closed-minded. Finds next Bitcoin. This is where the fiat economist guy's at. Shitcoin pumps harder than Bitcoin for a month. Rug pull begins. Goes all in. Ends up with nothing. Continues to search for the next Bitcoin. Highly accurate. And here's another one by the Meme Factory. This one's pinned. 1 in 4 men are happy. This is the fourth man. And look who's behind him. Yellow. and the last one, it is by Pleb Music. Let's check it out.
Hopefully this isn't copyrighted.
Ethereum switching from proof of work to proof of
stake. It seems accurate.
Absolutely hilarious memes. And for that, Phil, for those very special memes in honor of the meme legend on the show, my girlfriend left a yellow jacket, right, in my room. I'm going to wear it for the rest of the show in honor of yellow. I can't put it on.
Does it fit?
No, I'm going to rip it. My girlfriend's tiny.
Yeah.
Oh, here. No, you know what?
Ha! Oh, this doesn't work out the way you think it does.
Like Jon Snow, yeah.
You see?
There it is.
Your shoulders are gone.
You know nothing, Nico.
You know nothing, Jon Snow. Okay, see, my face is turning red. Phil, what would you give those memes?
Well, I don't have, you know, the haute couture that you have, so I apologize to the viewers, but still, getting a very significant score nonetheless. This foam square.
Ooh. Nice. Yellow, what would you give those memes?
I guess an energy drink that I won't say. You can say it here. And a cigar. as we call it here, the Greek breakfast.
Greek breakfast.
Absolutely hilarious. Guys, if you didn't know why we aren't like normal people and just give the meme scores, it's like yellow hairs flying everywhere. 1 through 10, it was yellow that came up with our original scoring system. The first score on Simply Bitcoin was Greg is a potato. And now, last score that has been given is the famous Greek breakfast. But anyways, guys, you know the drill. We say things that rub the wrong shoulders, so make sure to subscribe to us on alternative video platforms like Rumble.com and our personal favorite. They don't censor anything there. BitcoinTV.com. You can find us Monday through Saturday unless we specifically tell you that we're not posting, which happens, but it doesn't happen often. And of course, join our Telegram group. Link us a Bitcoin memes to review because it's a Bitcoin meme review, and we need memes to review. But anyways, Phil, it's time for the Daily News. The Daily News is brought to you by CryptoCloaks.com. They make the best 3D printed Bitcoin merch, like the 3D printed Bitcoin El Salvador grenade opens up. You can put your favorite open dime in there. Or the 3D printed Honey Badger opens up. You put your cold card in it. Anyways, take advantage of the link down in the link description. Take advantage of the 5% off thing. Anything on the store, CryptoCloaks.com. All right, everybody. We just want to specifically warn you. Excuse me. I just got excited. The yellow's here. Look, Michael Saylor went on Tucker. It was last week or the week before. It was last week. And twice this week, Tucker has been talking about Bitcoin-ish subjects. You'll see how he incorporates it. But before I play the video, I just want to preface this. Guys, this is an apolitical show. We don't care whether you lean to the political left or political right. We are single-issue voters. We will vote for anybody who stands for Bitcoin, whether they are Democrat or Republican. That being said, let's hear what Tucker has to say. I think Tucker, it's safe to say, Phil, that he's been orange-pilled.
But first, good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Time. Here's a question. What happens when you crush entire sectors of your own economy for nearly 2 years and then, to compensate for your crime, you decide to inject trillions of dollars of freshly printed cash into the system? What happens if you do that? Well, honestly, we don't really know what happens when you do that because no one in history has ever been stupid enough to try it. It's going to be years before we really understand the consequences of all this, of our government's reckless coronavirus policy. But in the meantime, we can say with total confidence that the American economy is getting very weird. Not all of it. Some of what we're seeing isn't weird in the slightest. It was, in fact, entirely predictable. If you create trillions of U.S. dollars out of nothing, U.S. dollars are going to be worth less. Much less. This is called inflation, and we're suffering through it right now. Inflation, very simply, is the result of too much money in the system. If you have too much of something, its value falls, supply and demand, remember? This is what's causing the rise in real estate prices and of Bitcoin and of other assets that investors run to when they no longer trust the country's currency.
So, again, this, you know, he's pointing out essentially what Bitcoiners have been pointing out for years, right? And the significance of this is, look, Shapiro, he did an episode, Ben Shapiro, YouTube, I'm sure you guys know him. He did an episode, the same thing. He mentioned Bitcoin. I think he mentioned a shitcoin by name, right? You see Tucker. And what is the significance of this, right? Because this is all noise. If you guys have been subscribed to this channel, you guys have heard this a million times a year ago. With the same language, you know, obviously Tucker's a lot nicer in his presentation and Phil and I are never going to wear a suit and tie, perhaps yellow, but the point is that the messaging is the same, right? The significance of this is that he's naming Bitcoin by name and he's naming the inflation problem. He's pointing it out. It's caused by the government printing money, right? So why is this a big deal? This represents the Bitcoin going mainstream, right? And if you've been here a while, like Yellow, like Phil, like myself, we could have never have conceived this a couple years ago. This was inconceivable. If you looked at the game theory, it was obvious that this was going to happen, but it's much easier talking in the theoretical than seeing it finally happen in real life. And this just comes on the hinds of Bitcoin becoming legal tender in a country. And the same year, you're starting to hear mainstream broadcasters saying it by name, right? So I just hope that it happens in a bipartisan way and it doesn't just become a partisan issue where, you know, Tucker's talking to the political right and then the political left are just going to say, oh, it's bad for the environment, stuff like that. Because honestly, it helps both sides of the political aisle. So anyways, Phil, am I crazy? Or isn't it weird that Tucker mentioned it twice, dude, in a week, Bitcoin by name?
Yeah, no, Tucker's definitely getting orange-pilled. He's definitely getting orange-pilled. You know, as you were talking about this, I was thinking about, you know, the, you know, political left, political right, and I'm like, okay, I, you know, we have heard some disingenuous narratives, right, about quote unquote, you know, blockchain being okay, and, you know, as long as it's environmentally friendly and whatnot. And, you know, and of course, we know that they're just talking about shitcoining, or as, you know, we just saw before in the Daily Fail, right, with Eswar Prasad or whatever his name is. I mean, you know, it's to him, the whole gift is blockchain, right? And this is kind of what bothers me, is that we are about to, I shouldn't say it bothers me, but okay, we're going to draw a line in the sand, and we're going to find out who the absolute statists are and who the proponents of freedom really are. And you can call them right or left, you know, up or down or whatever you want, but at the end of the day, it's going to be freedom. Like, as you said, Nico, it's going to be freedom versus slavery. And that's really what it breaks down to. And I really believe that the proponents of Bitcoin are, you know, are much more believers in free market capitalism and freedom, you know, as a whole, not just, you know, monetary freedom, but personal freedom as well. And I unfortunately think that that's where this is what it's all going to boil down to. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be a lot of noise, right? There's going to be a lot of noise. It's going to make it seem like there's going to be other issues at play, right? The environment is at play, and, you know, there's, you know, crimes and this and that. They're going to make it seem like there's many issues that need to be, you know, that need to be sorted out. But really, it's going to be, it is going to be one or the other, you know?
Well said. Yellow, different question for you. So you've been in this a little bit longer than Phil and I. Would you ever have imagined Bitcoin becoming legal tender and Bitcoin going mainstream the way it has been? I know that you guys recently on your podcast, The Meme Factory, go subscribe to it. It's down in the link description. You guys recently had Sailor. Could you ever have imagined that a couple years ago when you were first getting into Bitcoin? Or did you know this was always going to play out because of the incentives?
No, never. We didn't imagine this. Like, we could feel it that the Bitcoin was a very powerful tool for the individual to have his freedom and being a little bit more sovereign from the current system. And we could see that it could help, like, fight stuff like inflation and corruption, but. Yeah, this is like crazy. This is crazy. Sometimes I cannot believe where we at, and I'm not talking about the price. I'm talking about the levels of development and growth the network has achieved. Right, like the adoption. We're reaching mainstream, and it's awesome.
Absolutely, dude. So you live through the Greek banking crisis, right? Right. Mm-hmm. After the Heinz of 2008. How much, because I always tell this, and I've said this many times on the show, right? That I have, it's much easier for me to orange pill someone if they're not from a Western country, because essentially what happens now, Greece is part of the European Union, they use the euro and all that stuff, but I know that the banking problem over there, Yellow, mm-hmm. was a huge deal. Did that influence you into getting into Bitcoin? Did that open your eyes?
Yeah, definitely. As I said before in another podcast, like I'm a product of my environment. I started this journey because I saw everything around me crumble, like friends and family leaving Greece to find a job in another country in Europe or the States. And like I saw people losing money here in the stock exchange, and I saw also like depressing stuff like suicides of neighbors and shit like that. So that led me to why this is happening, and that answer, why is that happening, led me eventually to Bitcoin. And I totally agree. If you have some kind of experience like that, it's way easier to understand why we Bitcoin. But again, it doesn't have to be. Like, if you have a slight of empathy, even if you haven't experienced that, man, like, you have, if you have a slight of empathy for the guy next to you, like, you get it. Mm-hmm. You get it. It's the most humane thing you can do. Get Bitcoin.
Absolutely, dude. I, man, beautiful, beautiful answer, dude. The most humane thing you could do is get Bitcoin. And I agree with you, man. I really agree with you. Anyways, moving on. Guys, I want you to tie this into what Phil covered and what Erdogan was saying, or I don't know how to say his name.
Erdogan.
And what he was saying, the economist, right, this fiat economist, and he's essentially purporting this idea of the way of the future is central bank digital currencies. Now, I'm going to tie this in with stuff. I want you guys to pay attention because on its surface, all of these articles are a lot of noise. But if you really dig into the what they're telling you, you'll find a lot of signal and you'll be able to connect the dots. Anyways, U.S. eyes crypto climate among potential risks to financial stability. You notice how, again, right, it's exactly what that fiat economist was saying, right? It's the climate, right? Somehow it's crypto. I know that this article is claiming that it's a potential risk to financial stability, but kind of tie this into what the fiat economist was saying. Top U.S. financial regulators say crypto, Bitcoin and shitcoins and climate change are among the biggest risks to financial stability as digital assets have exploded in growth to a sector nearly $2.3 trillion. So remember, they're trying to spin up a narrative, right? The climate, right? Imagine, remember what that, you know, that economist was saying, that Bitcoin won't work because it's too harmful to what? To the environment, right? And if it's too harmful to the environment, it's too harmful to the climate. Anyways, noted that the rapid growth of digital currencies, including stable coins and crypto lending and borrowing, is an important potential emerging vulnerability. Chaired by Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, composed of the heads of the top financial regulatory agencies, the FSOC, including the Federal Reserve and the Securities Exchange Commission, regulators highlight that markets are frothy in general and Bitcoin and shitcoin prices are highly volatile. See, the thing is, they don't give about that shit. They only care when it starts going against them, right? When it starts taking away their power, when they start having too many losses, the financial elites, that's when they care about the high volatility. If it was in their favor, they wouldn't care. So that's, to me, is just utter nonsense. And that speculation is driving the majority of market moves. They warned that it's unclear how much is tied directly to the economy and added that even as the sector grows in popularity among small buyers, it may not be appropriate for many investors. You know how fucked up that is, right? Just because you're too poor, right? You don't have enough money, they want to let you know it's not appropriate for you. Where I would even say that Bitcoin is more appropriate for you than someone who is most benefiting from the fiat financial system. Anyway, specifically the reported zero in on stablecoins. Now tie this in with what Phil was saying. Why are they zeroing on stablecoins? First of all, we've been telling you guys they would do this for 6 months now. Why? First of all, because they're centralized, right? There's a metaphoric head to chop off, right? If something isn't truly decentralized, right, the government could go after it. And this applies to Ethereum. This applies to most shitcoins that don't have sufficient amount of decentralization to withstand a nation state attack, right? So anyways, they're going to start with stablecoins. I'm sure they're going to move on to DeFi. I'm sure they're going to move on to any cryptocurrency that doesn't have sufficient amount of decentralization. An asset class designed to smooth out digital coin volatility that's now worth nearly $166 billion itself. And the potential for a run on stablecoins, right? Again, they're trying to set a precedent in your mind and now tie in the central bank digital currency. The central bank digital currencies will do a much better job at being what? Stable coins, right? There isn't any coincidences here. Just connect the dots, right? Anyways, moving on to this article, right? Have you noticed? Look, this is happening in the U.S. is what the U.S. regulators are saying. Bank of England to ramp up talks on crypto rules as data is hard to find. The growing number of banks offering crypto trading and custody for clients requires global rules to protect the financial system. Very similar wording, according to Sarah Beaton, the Bank of England's executive director for financial stability and risk, the newspaper said. Gathering the request data is not something the UK can achieve alone, she said. It will need cooperation through the Financial Stability Board, a G20 organization that makes recommendations regarding the stability of the global financial system. The BOE has reportedly said most recently, just last week, that crypto holdings in the UK do not currently pose a threat to the financial system. It expressed concern, however, that the pace of growth means that they could become more dangerous as they become increasingly linked to the wider financial network. So again, the US regulators, UK regulators, they're all saying the same thing. Why are they saying this? Do they really care about the stability of the system? We know that in 2008, right, the system bailed out the big banks, and it was Main Street that foot the bill. We know that in Greece, right, they did the same freaking thing. The bankers got away with it, and it was the common citizen, the average Joe, that was footing the bill. So we know by historical context, they don't give a shit about you, period, right? The reason that they're using this rhetoric is that's going to be their excuse to clamp down, because Bitcoin is a threat to them. Bitcoin is a threat to their gig. Bitcoin is a threat to what they've been doing for I don't know how many years now, right? So of course this is going to be their reaction, right? They're going to say, oh, it's for the good of the public, but in reality, it's for the good of themselves. It's good for the good of their employment, right? It's for the good of their power, right? But in reality, they just don't want to get left behind. And more specifically, they don't want people opting out of their system for a better system, and while opting out, learning that the system on the outside is much better than their original system. Because I'm telling you guys that if enough people wake up to what's going on, I don't think there's a way back. Anyways, Phil.
You know what? This whole mess, right? This whole mess is really, again, this goes back to the incentives, right? This is what we've been talking about the whole time. They're not incentivized, you know, they're not incentivized in any way, shape or form. Look, you know, like when I was in college, the dot-com bubble burst. Okay. And I remember this. Okay. There were companies that did absolutely nothing that overnight were worth like 200, 300 times their earnings overnight. And you think about it. I want you to think about this, right? Who was selling this? Who was selling these equities? Right? These are investment firms, right? Where are they getting their capital from? Everybody knows they're lying, okay? Everybody knows that they're full of shit, and they know that they're selling you. But to your point, it doesn't matter, because they're winning in that sense. They're in control in that sense. In this particular case, with Bitcoin, they don't have control. As we've said 100 times, they've got to provide value. If they're going to go, you look at the companies that are choosing to opt into Bitcoin, what are they having to do? They're having to rethink the way they do business. They're having to find different ways of offering value to their customers, because apparently people just taking shit and paying for it just doesn't work. Who would have thought? You know, who would have thought? Amazing. So, you know, again, they're scared. We know they're scared. I love that saying that you say, right? We know they're lying. They know they're lying. We know they know they're lying. They know we know that they know they're lying, but they're lying anyways. And you know what? We're going to continue to play this game while they, you know, while the economy circles around this toilet bowl. So, but I just, again, they're going to, like you said at the beginning of this, they're going to chop off all the heads they can.
Yep.
They are absolutely going to do this.
The metaphorical.
Yes. The metaphorical heads. No incitement of violence.
Exactly. So, yeah. So they're going to go after any centralized thing they can. That's absolutely what they're going to do. So I'm going to pass it on to Yellow because, again, Phil and I are talking from a perspective of, you know, we live in the West, and so does Yellow, but he recently lived through a country that the reason that a lot of us take a lot of these people seriously is because we haven't seen the system break yet, right? So if you're in Turkey or you were in Greece about, you know, when everything happened, if you saw your central banker say something like that, you would look at it and laugh. You'd be like, ah, you know. But here, because a lot of us trust the system, because we haven't experienced inflation, because we haven't experienced hyperinflation, because the bank just didn't just freeze your account and take 10% or 20% off the top to bail themselves out, we don't believe it could happen, right? So anyways, Yellow, do you have any story or any warning of those days for the viewers?
I will answer this with my kind of mentality, and that is, you should not give a fuck. Like, don't, like, okay, yeah, I've been through some stuff, weird stuff, and the situation here was like awful. And you can see the signs if you pay attention a little bit, and you can feel the sacrifices around you and the bad stuff happening. Okay, but like, don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you. Grow yourself. Don't let that stop you. Enjoy your family time. Don't let that stop you. Stack your sats however you can. Don't let that stop you. Envision a future that for you and your family, that it's going to be what you want, right? Like, don't let that stop you. Like the politicians, the Erdogan and the politicians here, like their incentives, as you guys said, are crooked, man. Like me and the Greeks and the Turks, like they have so-called a feud around the Aegean, and they always like to fight, but like you can see it in Twitter and everybody from over there, like the Bitcoiners, we understand what's the game and what they're playing and how they like to divide and conquer and create situations, awful situations like this, right? Like that's their mess. So what are we gonna do about it? Are we gonna like spend the little energy we have in their shit? No, we're gonna do our thing. And our thing is stacking, our thing is hodling, and trying to spin it a little bit more positive for a better future. That's what we do, right?
I love that, man. I agree. And you know what? Bitcoin empowers you to do that, because before you used to have to care because you were using their money.
Yeah.
But when you opt out,
fuck them.
You know, it's like, why do you care, right? It's literally like that, man. But look, to end this on a more positive note, check this out. You can't stop the honey badger. Inside China's underground Bitcoin and shitcoin mining operation, where people are risking it all to make Bitcoin. Why? Because it has an incentive. China cracked down on its domestic crypto mining industry in May, but many miners have figured out ways to continue operations and evade detection. Experts estimate that as much as 20% of the worldwide Bitcoin network remains in China. As hydropower dams dry up in the provinces of Sichuan and Yunnan, miners are newly contemplating taking their operations overseas. So even, check this out. An overall Bitcoin mine, not only could they not stop Bitcoin, they can't stop Bitcoin mining. And why is that? Why is this happening? The incentive, right? The incentive is so strong and people can't ignore it. And I kind of want to tell a quick story. I spoke to my Chinese friend who lives in mainland China, in Shenzhen. And I, one of the first questions that I had to him, his name is Tommy. And I said, hey, bro, like, you know, what's the China ban? He's like, what are you talking about? You know, like, oh, that, he's like, oh, that's the government. You know, and I'm like, oh, isn't it true that people left? He's like, yeah, it's inconvenient, but people still mine here, right? And I'm like, how? And he's like, man, just people figure out a way, right? So, again, I think that if you pay attention to the mainstream media, it's one thing that they'll tell you. And there was definitely a huge hash rate drop. But I think that hash rate drop came from companies or established companies that essentially – their operations were too big, right? They couldn't just, you know, sweep it under the rug and that stuff. But if you take into individual miners into account, right, not huge companies like Bitmain and stuff, right, it's a lot harder to find out what those guys are doing, right? You know, you'd have to essentially come up with the whole, you know, spying agency in your country to pay attention to people's electricity usage. And man, and it's like there's the Tor network. So it's a lot easier to hide, right? If you're doing it on a smaller scale, on an individual scale, than it is if you're doing it on a larger scale, right? So it's pretty crazy, man. That estimate is pretty huge. 20%. What do you think about it, Phil?
It was absolutely hilarious. That when you read that article, I'm sorry, I was muted, which was good, which allowed you to continue with the reading, because I just burst out laughing. I'm like, you kidding me? Like, look, it's the world of incentives. Everyone wants to pretend that there's a whole bunch of other things going on. It's incentives. Bitcoin, this just goes to show you how worthwhile and what Bitcoin means to these people, okay? Because don't get me wrong, this isn't, like, I'm sure that in China, like, this isn't going to be some fun holiday vacation prison. You know, this is going to be like, you know, federal, you're a dartboard prison. Okay? Yeah. Like, it's not going to be good. Like, there's going to be all kinds of terrible things that happen to you in those places. So much so that we don't even know what really happens. We just theorize of it. Exactly. So, again, like, that should tell you right there what the incentives are.
It's true. Man, look, if you ban Bitcoin, you're gonna, as the government, as the state, you're going to have to provide a better incentive, or people are just not going to listen to you, period, right? And I think that's what we're seeing in China. But Yellow, does this surprise you at all, bro?
Nah, I think from the first moment I realized that, okay, yeah, some of the big farms like closed up, and some of those machines, like, they went to the States and whatnot. But like, I kind of understood that a big chunk of those farms basically like became more decentralized inside China. Like,
yes,
they went to garages and they went to like abandoned houses, and they just like chopped those miners, like those farms, in smaller farms. So that's what they did. Like, yeah, of course, man. Like, the incentives are there.
The incentives are irresistible, and that's what you're seeing in China. And I had the same reaction when I initially saw that article. I didn't see it on the show for the first time, but I saw it, I think it was either today or yesterday, and I had the same reaction as Phil. I just laughed. I'm like, of course, you know, like, of course, you know, because you see all the media and you're like, oh yeah, they're banning me. But if you really think about it, like, on the ground, right, like, think about how hard it is to do, you know, how hard it was coming, you know. And it's like, no shit, no duh, you know. But I'm glad the silver lining in all this is, I'm glad that still the majority of the hash rate relocated out of China, right? So I'm glad that happened. But anyways, Phil, it's time for a software release, I think. Yeah.
Software releases. Software releases are brought to you by CypherSafe. Check them out. CypherSafe.io. It's the best place to store your seed. Store your seed in the Cypher wheel. The link is down below. All right, we've got Nix Bitcoin version 0.0.59 that was released. It's down below in the show notes. And guys, don't forget, rain or shine, Monday to Saturday, we post all week long. He doesn't force me. I'm not being forced. Anyways, that's right. We've got it all week long, audio only, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify. I also recently found out we're on Pocket Cast, so there too. Anyways, check us out.
Awesome. Thank you, Phil. Yeah, we're everywhere. Before we go, I want to give a very, very special shout out to a dear friend of ours. He's also on Simply Bitcoin. He shows up every single day. You guys see him during the Amber app. Give this legendary meme lord a follow. His name is Yellow. He is a yellow Greek puppet. Muppet. He's not a puppet. He's a Muppet. You know, give him a follow at ICO Offender and check out his legendary podcast. He does it with all the Meme Factory crew, which doesn't exist. You can go give him a follow at Meme Factory TM on YouTube, and you can follow the Meme Factory Twitter at Meme Factory TM. Anyways, guys, that was our show. If you enjoyed the show, smash that like button. And of course, if you want to continue hearing the catastrophic news from the fiat economists and the central bankers and the Bitcoin news from the pleb perspective, definitely consider subscribing. And we'll see you tomorrow, guys, for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin.
A quote from our awesome guest: the most humane thing you can do is get Bitcoin.
Malaka.